Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Dr. Awamalika.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Perfect, we are doing well.
Ah, fantastic. Great to have you on at the Lion House, Kenya.
Yes. Kenya's okay.
Mm. Lovely.
Yes, we are doing well.
No, South Africa is good as well. But winter is upon us. It's going to be, I think it's going to be starting to be cold in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And so we're just bracing ourselves for that, eh?
But we have no wind in Kenya. It is.
Oh, man.
Summer travel.
Beautiful stuff. Love to hear that. Love to hear that. Now, Doc, we are talking about the great controversy, and it's not uncommon to see people do horrible things for good causes. Others try their best to do the right thing, but end up making things worse. How can pure good and pure evil, exist in such a confusing world? The Bible helps make some moral struggles clear. It tells us how each of us are caught up in an epic battle between good and evil. It's on the basis of this that we want to have this conversation, what is known in the Adventist circles as the Great Controversy. And Pastor Awamalika is here to help us to understand this. So, Dr. Awamalika, what is the Great Controversy? I mean, for those who have not heard about it, where and when and how did it all begin?
Thank you very much for inviting me. And I want, first of all, to start by, the fact that there is moral conflict, there is war, is something that is felt almost by every creature. And the Great Controversy is the description of the war between good and evil. It is not used in the Bible. There's no Bible verse that has the word Great Controversy, but the idea of the existence of evil and the good, the idea of the conflict of the two, is very present in the Bible. So it's usually referred to as the Great Controversy. Maybe if you want a more biblical word, this same topic can also be called the origin of sin. So the Great Controversy is the existence, is the battle between Christ and the Satan over three things. It is a battle over the character of God, which is love, is God love. Is a battle over his law. Is it just? And it's also a battle over his sovereignty over the universe. Is it him alone who can command the whole universe? So it's a battle over those three things as a summary of all that is taking place.
Yeah, well, at least it's much clearer, and I hope those who are not familiar with the term Great Controversy, it is now clear how sin actually came into being. Now, how did human beings then become involved? Because it seems like this is things that happened not on our planet, but seems like we're involved.
Yes, we would have never known the origin of this evil had the Bible not said so. So we are tied to what the Bible record says. The Bible record says that the battle between good and evil started outside our planet. It started in heaven. If you had a chance to read some books in the Bible, especially like Ezekiel 28, if you look at it, he says, starting, you can start from verse 14, verse 13. We believe it's a description of evil. He says, you have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was covering you and all that description. Then he says, you are the anointed cherub, the covereth, and I have set thee so. He says in verse 15 that you were perfect in your way from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. We believe this description is talking of a creature called Lucifer. God did not create Satan. He created Lucifer, and Lucifer became Satan. It is when he became Satan that this great controversy started. Where did it start? From the Bible story, we believe it started outside this planet in heaven. Your question is, how did we get involved?
Yes,
according to the Bible, we got involved when Adam, who is believed to be the first human being, the one who from whom humanity originates, was created perfect, but with the freedom of choice. And God had told him not to eat of the fruit in the Garden of Eden that was in the middle. And the Bible says he made a decision and ate the fruit. So from there, Adam made a choice to eat the fruit, and therefore his generation that come out of him inherit a fallen spirit, a rebellious spirit built on the word I. I. So that this is the word that you find permeates every branch of humanity, whether it is politics, education, economics, or whatever it is. It is colored and perfumed by the word I. So I myself, yeah. I myself. Right. It is there in the families. It is there even in whoever is listening to me. It is this I that was introduced into humanity when Adam fell. So the question, how did was humanity involved? It got involved when Adam, the figurehead, made a decision to break God's law. And therefore, he immersed the whole humanity in him. Now, sometimes to help somebody understand, how can I be involved in something that practically I did not do? I want to give this illustration. Suppose you get a disease that affects your genes, and the doctor says, because your genes have been affected, all the children you give birth to will have a defect. Do those children have any choice? No, they don't have any choice.
No, they don't.
The only child that would survive is any child you had before the genes were infected. Before, when Adam broke the law, he had not given birth to any child. So all other children who are born later, who's us, we come out of Adam with a life that has already fallen, a spirit that is already sinful, and therefore the whole humanity was affected.
Man, hectic stuff, I must tell you, Pastor. Now, because you've already answered the question that I was going to be asking, and I was going to be asking, how has this controversy impacted on the rest of the humanity up until this day? But how has this controversy then impacted the way God views sin?
When you look at a discussion that Satan had, the Eve or the woman in the Garden of Eden, Satan introduced a certain view in Eve that was not there. For example, he asked Eve, "Has God said that you shall not eat all the fruits or the fruit of the tree in this garden?" And she answered, said, "No, not all, except the tree in the middle." And then the woman says, "God says, the day we eat, we shall die." When you look at the response of Adam, of Satan, is that he's questioning God's character. He's asking, is it fair? Is it fair that you threaten humanity with the punishment of death, so that the reason why they are not eating of the tree is not because God has said don't, it's because they fear death. So you can see how it flows. So the first thing he planted in humanity was that we began living not because of love for God, but because of the fear of punishment. That's the same thing that was introduced in the story of Job. When you look at the story of Job, the book says the sons of God came together. In this sense, I can say the whole universe came together. The Bible says there was a day when the sons of God came together. And they say Satan also came. In what capacity did he come? The Bible gives the impression that Satan was a representative of our planet. Why? Because when Adam was created, he was the legal representative of this planet. But when he fell, the law of God took effect. The law of God says, whoever defeats you becomes your master. So he handed over this planet into the hands of Satan. That is why during the temptation of Jesus, remember Satan says in Luke chapter 4, he told Jesus that all this has been given to me. The English Bible says he has been delivered to me, and I give to him so if I will. So in the book of Job, they all come together. We don't know where this meeting was, but we also learned that the agenda of this meeting was one, and that agenda was the talk between God and Satan. Satan was accusing man that the reason why man worships God is because God is a clever businessman. He bribes man with blessings. And because of that bribery, Job worships him. That was the real heart of it. That does Job worship for nothing? That question means the worship of Job is built on benefits that he gets from God. And you know what? It took God over 40 chapters to prove that Satan was wrong. So the whole story in the Bible, even the whole story of life, is the vindication of God. So you find that story I don't want to go into the story, but you find that Job lost everything. God allowed Satan to take away everything, all the benefits he had given him, and Job was left a pauper, very poor, and his health broke down. And you remember, Satan destroyed everything that Job had, except one thing, his wife. We have no record that the wife ever fell sick. And the only time she comes in, she seems like she's promoting Satan's agenda. She finds Job is praying, and she says, "Do you still pray? Do two things, and don't change the order. Number one, curse God. And number two, die." It is out of the pain of these words that broke the heart of the righteous Job. And with his friends who came later that did not comfort him, Job says, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and though I die, I will see him." So Job shows that he does not worship God because of benefits. It is in that response of Job that in the end, his faith is vindicated. So the great controversy is over the character of God. What is it that motivates us to do good? What is it that motivates us? Is it fear of punishment? If the reason why we do good is because we fear punishment, then we are operating from a very low plane. And the book of Job tells us that no man is neutral in this conflict. You are either on God's side or Satan's side. And the only faith that will stand time is the one that worships God, not because of the stipends of his blessings, but because of who he is. So the Bible says God is love. And that love was demonstrated in Christ's life. It is Christ who came to reveal that love, that God is love. Therefore, the whole humanity, we believe, is involved. And even when not only humanity, but even the environment, when you look at nature, the environment has been destroyed. We read of the story of the flood in the Bible. It destroyed the world. And until today, the world has never recovered. You can see climate change being spoken of. Yeah, you can see animals, their environment in which they live does not promote gentility and so on. So we can say that the world, not only us, but even the creation itself has been affected. And we can also say that the freedom from this captivity is found only in God through Christ. Yeah. So this great controversy is real. It is not academic. It is there. Anybody who thinks it's academic will soon discover that even when children are born, you may call them angels, but without going to any school to learn rebellion, you'll just see them coming out. So it's a real thing. And we do good to listen to what the Bible says. I believe that this conflict is not meant to chase us away. It is meant for us to make a decision on the side of Christ.
Beautiful one, Dr. Wamalika. Asante sana. We are going to be talking to you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Amen.
Lovely. Welcome. Blessings. Yeah. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Asante. Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.